We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. Joining me over there, live and live in color on this beautiful Sunday morning in Chicagoland, the one, the only, the incomparable Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
Good. Only live for a select Patreon tier, though, correct?
Yeah.
I'm live to you, but on demand for everybody else. So
premium verballers have access to the live stream. Mm-hmm. This being week zero, it is kind of our pilot episode for doing the live thing on a Sunday morning. So we'll see how it goes. As you often like to say, the most improvement typically takes place between the first game and the second game.
Yeah.
So in our little world here, this is our test run of the live stream. How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to say, but between weeks one and two, I'm going to give ourselves a grace period. So we have until week two to get our acts together technologically and physically. I'm good. I watched football yesterday, which was very exciting to do, and I haven't done it in quite some time. Live football, or in my case, some kind of later on football. I did watch some of the UCLA game live, but I was out and about and being a dad for, I looked at Nebraska, Illinois, and I said, you know what? I can catch up with that one. I can watch that one in its entirety later. And I think that was the pro move on my part. So I'm happy to, I'm on the swing and I'm backing up. I think the potential energy is pretty big here. I'm excited, Ty. That's what I'm saying.
Dan, before we go any further, we have breaking news. Yeah, we've been talking about this, teasing it for weeks on end.
Yes.
Here is the deal. We are running a contest called Run the Board. Run the Board is available to our Patreon subscribers. It is a pick'em game. Each week, you log on, you pick 10 games against point spread. At the end of each week, we're going to give out a weekly prize. Maybe a coupon for free merch. Something like that.
Ty will do tech support for your parents. There's all sorts of stuff that we're willing to give away. Yep.
That's no big deal. That has been tried and true many times over. What is different about Run the Board is that it is a season-long contest. A season-long contest in which you're not only competing against Dan and I, but you are competing against the entire Verballerhood, the Patreon Verballerhood, the most ardent supporters of the show, for one of the top five slots at the end of the year. We'll drop your two lowest scores, no big deal. But at the end of the season, what do the top five slots get?
They're going to be members of the first ever Solid Verbal Board of Trustees.
Run the board, hence the name. The top five finishers in our season-long contest will be awarded those spots on the Board of Trustees.
Trustee status.
Trustee status, which means you're going to get a special trophy, which will celebrate your membership. You're going to be invited to annual meetings where we discuss Solid Verbal related matters.
It's like the owner's meetings in football or baseball, but more luxurious and more important.
Of course. And more virtual, right?
Yes, of course.
And you'll also earn the right to give us votes of confidence or votes of no confidence on key matters relating to the show.
Yeah. There's a chance I could be replaced by Mike Riley. That's true. It happens. Look.
This is what happened over at CBS when they got Danny Kanell in there.
That's right. We're reporting to a board of trustees starting at the end of this year. And the only way you get on that board, the most exclusive Solid Verbal club, the boardroom, Ty, can only be attained. Status in that club can only be attained via Run the Board and your performance in the Patreon exclusive season-long pick'em game.
We have never done anything remotely close to this.
Will there be custom lapel pins awarded to our first ever board? Who's to say? Ty, who's to say?
More to come on this throughout the course of the year. But what's most important is that you get in now. You got to get in now because we are closing registration at the end of the week. Before week one kicks off, we're shutting the whole thing down. Nobody else is going to be able to gain access to this game. So go to playruntheboard.com and click on the big green button at the bottom to sign up to play. That'll bounce you over to our Patreon where you got to sign up and you can get the link that way. But playruntheboard.com is where you want to go. If you're not already a Patreon subscriber, go there, check it out, get your name on the list. And it's going to be a feverish season-long contest, not just against you and me, but against a lot of others. People want that status. It means something, Dan, in the verballerhood.
It's true.
PlayRunTheBoard.com. Go now.
Yeah.
We will talk about the limited slate of week five or week zero action, the five games of week zero momentarily. This was kind of our tune-up session, Dan. How did it feel? Was it great to have the fans back? It was for me.
Got a failed hurdle from DTR?
Yeah. We did.
We got all sorts of references that we covered on our Fantasy Things show. No, it was great to have everything. Just the announcers, there's an excitement to a lot of their voices when they have, I mean, potentially full stadiums. Sorry, Rose Bowl. I think that's going to be a while. But yeah, it was great to have Beth Mowins back in my life. The UCLA Bruins.
Yeah.
I loved it.
All right. So why don't we just jump right in? We didn't do reverbs this week because there weren't enough games for it. Typically, that's where we would start. For those of you who are listening at home, we'll open up that reverb line here.
What's the number?
408-VERBAL-1. That's 408-837-2251. We will open that line up. You can call in and give us reactions as the games are transpiring this coming week in week
one.
We're also going to turn on the Preverbs, which is a Patreon subscriber where people can call in and leave us a voice memo, give us their take on one or a couple of the games that are going to transpire in week one. So we're really starting to ramp the machine up here.
I mean, if you just want to leave like a chocolate chip cookie recipe on the Preverbs too, that's fine. Like that's your right as a patron. I'm good with that.
I am as well. So why don't we start with the just general takeaway from week zero? It's been a while since we did this college football thing. It's been a long, cold off season. Actually not cold at all, at least not for you and me.
No.
What did it feel like watching the games again? What was your general takeaway watching the action? Again, spaced out pretty well.
Yeah.
There wasn't a true headline matchup unless you are among the select few that want to count Nebraska-Illinois.
Unless you are Robert at the Illini board.
Just a machine. Yeah. A machine of Illinois football coverage. What was your just general takeaway watching all this?
I mean, it's just the same thing it is every year, whether it's week zero or week one. There's just going to be a certain amount of sloppiness baked in. There's going to be a certain amount of eye-opening moments, just in terms of like, oh, okay, I can see where this team's potential now lies in good or bad ways. And right. you know, you get the new coaches, so you get sort of like, okay, what are they trying to do? What are they going for? Like, we now know, here's what Illinois is sort of going for on offense and on defense. Here's what UCLA with Zach Charbonnet and with, you know, a ninth year senior quarterback, here's what they're going for. Here's what their talent level looks like after 4 years of Chip Kelly. So there's nothing, I don't know what UCLA absolutely is, or what Nebraska or Illinois or Fresno State or UConn, I don't know what they absolutely are. I might with UConn, I take that back. But you get a sense of like, here is what they're trying to do. And I think anything beyond that is sort of bordering on foolish.
And speaking of sloppy, this is from our friend Ari Wasserman.
I saw this.
In reference to the Nebraska-Illinois game, Nebraska-Illinois had the following. A safety. A safety, by the way, Dan, that was the first 2 points of the college football season, for what that's worth.
Yep.
We had a safety on a botched punt return. An illegal forward pass on that same punt return, 2 missed extra points, a coach not knowing the down, a 75-yard touchdown run, a scoop and score, a snap over a quarterback's head, and then ultimately a team in Nebraska trying to overcome a 21-point deficit. Yeah. You know, say what you want to say about the team's playing or the eventual outcome. That's a nice little Applebee's sampler right there, isn't it? You get a little bit of everything that you could possibly want out of your college football just in the early trappings of that Nebraska-Illinois game.
I guess. I mean, it's a little bit of like, well, urine is sterile and I'm in the desert, so this is good enough. yeah, it was fine. It was not a great TV watch. No. That's all I can sort of come to the conclusion of. I mean, so look, Illinois looked, especially losing their starting quarterback and putting Art Sikowski in there, and there was that the turning point of what would look to be an interception from, I think it was Cam Taylor-Britt for Nebraska, that was called back for, I think it was targeting. There was a late hit on the quarterback. And then Illinois proceeded to look a lot more competent and together with Sikowski coming in place of Brandon Peters, who obviously got pretty injured on that hit. So, no, it was good to see that, you know, Illinois is going to be cycling guys, trying to figure out what they have, which I think is pretty smart, because expectations are just approach competence in Champaign with Brett Bielema, and that's what they seem to do. They've got a couple of guys who popped on offense. I liked Isaiah Williams, the converted quarterback, yeah. And I like Luke Ford, the Georgia transfer. But it was just a lot of, okay, can we keep chains moving? And on defense, it's like, okay, who are the defensive backs that are working out for us? Like, can we rush the passer? Who are guys that can defeat one-on-one blocks? And for Nebraska, it was just 4 years of a head start, right? It was just like the writing seems to be on the wall, right? It's a quarterback who has started forever. It is a defense that was expected. I mean, and they played fine for stretches, but a defense expected to, I think, lead the way, and a road favorite by 7-8 points coming in and just not being able to string together drives or string together offensive identities with drive. Like, it's just, it at a certain point, and maybe this already existed for a lot of college football fans or Nebraska fans, like, Scott Frost isn't the answer. I don't know. And it sucks. It does suck. Like, I don't like dunking on Nebraska is not fun anymore. Like, it's just, you're watching extremely bad slow motion TV.
You're going to hear a lot of doom and gloom about Scott Frost's future at Nebraska.
Yeah.
Most of it's probably true.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to go Old Yeller on him midseason unless he totally loses the team. This is a really bad start to the season. I would hope that they would improve. I still think that the team is improved from a year ago, but we'll have to wait and see where it goes. The main problem in this game for him was that they shoot themselves in the foot too much, Dan.
Yeah.
You know, the safety was stupid, but whatever. That happens.
Yeah.
They put together a nice drive after that. They scored. They seemingly had intercepted a ball around midfield, had good field position, potentially to go down and go up 2 scores, but there was a roughing the passer penalty. They just kept stacking dumb things on top of other dumb things. And ultimately, it came to a point where the defense pretty much bottomed out. And the offense, the identity, whatever you want to call it, was pretty much whatever Adrian Martinez could do.
Right.
And before you knew it, they were in a 21-point hole. Mm-hmm. Without the dumb stuff, they probably win this game. They're good enough to win this game. But the big problem that Scott Frost has yet to really solve is the dumb stuff. How do you get around the dumb stuff? You know, especially in college football and especially in the Big Ten West, generally speaking, the term, quote, an Illinois problem is not good for business.
No.
And now they've lost 2 years in a row to Illinois.
Should have been three, maybe, with the no call at the end of the game 3 years ago. Yeah.
So your final score here was 30-22
yeah.
in favor of the Illini. I agree with you as far as your Illinois analysis. I think comparatively speaking, Illinois had much more of an identity on offense.
Sure.
I felt like I knew what I was watching. Like I got the general theme of what Brett Bielema was trying to do. I love the talking point. I don't remember if we drafted this in our Fantasy Things draft or if we just talked about it casually, but the whole thing about Brett Bielema as the Big Ten West Sherpa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely got a lot of traction in this game and in studio coverage of this game. So, you know, he got off to a great start. I'm not comfortable calling him Art Sitkowski because I like King Arthur a little bit more.
He came in. Adi.
And looked, I thought, pretty good. 12 of 15, two touchdowns, no picks.
He looked like a Wisconsin quarterback. He looked like
exactly
a Brett Bielema.
Like
he looks like Alex Hornibrook or Joel Stave or Scott Tolzien. Anybody who is just like, all right, he is accurate enough and the staff knows what they do and don't have on him and call plays accordingly. Yeah.
That's it. That's it. So they get the job done 30-22. I'm not going to pretend it was some sort of dynamic effort. To be honest, their offensive line could be kind of a nightmare, but
sure.
Did what they had to do. They were outgained by Nebraska. It didn't matter. They ended up winning by eight. So
somebody needed to win this clunker. Somebody needed to win.
Next week, they've got UTSA, in which they're only favored by a touchdown. I might look at that one. I'm going to follow that line as we get a little bit deeper into the week.
Yeah.
Nebraska has a tester against your Fordham Rams.
By the way, I remain convinced that it's at least a possibility that this was just a nightmare week zero for Nebraska. Not that they're great. Not that Nebraska's great, but that they can diagnose certain things. Now, there are strengths to this Nebraska team. I thought the pass rush was impressive. They overwhelmed Illinois' offensive line for stretches. If you can string together a mobile quarterback, a playmaking quarterback, and I know I don't love the Nebraska skill position guys, but if you can string together above average quarterback playing a pass rush, you can be a bowl team. You just that's simply the fact. It doesn't change the fact that Scott Frost is overwhelmingly not the answer in Lincoln long term, but I am not ready to, you know, shovel dirt atop Nebraska's 2021.
No, and we were talking about it in our Slack during the game. It was cool to see Gabe Irving getting some.
Yeah, freshman.
Some 100% of the early carries, true freshman for Nebraska. So,
yeah, Marquise Stapp made plays. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying. They're trying. It just didn't look good
in
week one, week zero. We'll see what happens next week. They've got one against Fordham before they get into more of the meat of their schedule. But not a great start for Nebraska and an unexpectedly positive start for Brett Bielema in Champaign.
Yep.
Moving on, UCLA 44, the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors 10.
Wow. Just Warriors. Just Warriors. Okay. Yeah.
This was over before it started.
Essentially, yeah.
UCLA scored in their first five drives. The Hawaii defense offered little to no resistance. I thought UCLA looked really good. Really good. Close
largely
to 400 total yards, nearly 250 of which came on the ground. Britton Brown, Zach Charbonnet. Zach Charbonnet had three touchdowns in his first game with the Bruins. And both those guys looked a little bit bigger, a little bit more physical than I think I remember. Maybe it was just, I don't know, weary college football, hungry eyes looking on. But I thought they both ran with purpose and looked good.
Sure.
And that's meaningful because what I think we'll talk about is the situation that is brewing next weekend with UCLA playing host to LSU, which has its own deal to deal with right now, given the hurricane. We'll get into that. But all in all, I thought really impressive start to the season for Chip Kelly and UCLA.
A little bit worried about DTR.
Really?
He missed a lot of camp time. And So maybe just, you know, really intense practices this week ahead of LSU will be very helpful for him. He just looked off, which it's extremely fortunate that they're able to run really well. We talked about Hawaii up front being a little bit of a weakness in terms of their push against the run, their ability to be stout and sort of maintain lanes and tackling all that. So that's UCLA took advantage, and the game plan was, I think, pretty flawless, obviously, for UCLA. The running backs were great, as you mentioned. I'm still worried about UCLA in terms of speed on the outside and keeping defenses honest. Greg Dulcich is really good at tight end, but that's still a worry to me. But I was pleasantly surprised by the UCLA defense, but this is probably what an above average defense should do against Hawaii. So they checked off that box. Next week will be something else. Luckily for the Bruins, LSU was last year, which we can write off to whatever extent, they're pretty horrid against the run. I think they're going to be much improved on defense this year under a new defensive coordinator. But extremely encouraging. If you're a Bruins fan, especially with what they've watched early on during seasons under Chip Kelly and losing all those games, to come out and take care of business and to be emphatic about it. And they just sort of coasted in the second half. But, you know, putting up what they did in the first half, it's very, very encouraging for a pretty wide open Pac-12 South.
Did you happen to see the block punt?
Oh, yeah. I did see the block punt. Yeah.
UCLA blocked a punt, I think, late in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those deals where Hawaii didn't even pick the guy up. They may not even have known he was on the field. But he burst through the line so quickly, he didn't even have to dive to knock the ball down.
No.
He almost intercepted it on the ball's path from the punter's hands down to his foot.
Yeah.
That's how quick he burst through and just knocked this thing down. And then they fell on it for a touchdown in the end zone. So I thought... Yeah. Hawaii's special teams were kind of a bit of a disaster. They clearly did not offer any resistance for that Bruin rushing attack. Next week, you're right, will be much a different story. Not just because LSU's a better team, but also because of what's going on in Louisiana right now.
Yeah.
So Hurricane Ida, we're recording this on Sunday. Hurricane Ida, I think, is a Category 4, soon to be potentially a Category 5. Horrible stuff. It's going to make landfall on the Louisiana coast at some point a little bit later today. What the football team did in advance was they got out of Dodge. They went over to Houston where they're setting up shop and they're practicing and just, I guess, staying safe. They've had the same thing go on for some of their other programs. Some I saw went to Tallahassee. Others went to Birmingham. Like they're trying to keep the sports teams, I guess, isolated from whatever's going to go down in Baton Rouge as the hurricane has set the pass over. But it's a tough scenario for LSU. You feel horrible for these kids because if it's not hard enough starting off a game on the road, you kind of have an additional layer built in now with this added road trip over to Houston a couple days before you hop on the bird and fly west to go to UCLA. It just seems like, you know, I mean, we talk about so much on this show in terms of the point spread because it's interesting context. I feel guilty about doing that here. But it is, I guess, relevant information for people who are paying attention to the games. That kind of goes out the window for me to some extent, just because, like, it's such a horrible situation for LSU that I would almost be willing to accept any result as being totally normal, given what they've got to deal with.
It's awful. And it's just, you know, context into something far less meaningful, which is college football.
UCLA again wins 44-10. We will talk more about their game against LSU here in just a few short days. Elsewhere in college football, just a handful of other games that we can rifle through somewhat quickly. Fresno UConn. Woo! I'm going to undo the top button here.
Oh,
Dan.
No, don't do that.
Going to undo the top button. It was 120 degrees on the field in Fresno. And there was a tweet at one point that the equipment crews had worried that shoes may actually melt on the field.
The rubber and the cleats, yeah.
Like they're on the surface of Venus, and the shoes are going to melt. They apparently had some sort of contingency. It just incredible that you would read that kind of thing going into the first game of the year. Fresno won 45-0. I don't think this comes as any huge surprise. UConn was not expected to be good, and on top of it, they haven't played a game since 2019.
Right.
So they're a little rusty. And that's expected, just a shade over 100 total yards, a bunch of penalties. Jake Haener for Fresno, a name that we'll probably talk about throughout the course of the year, had a nice game, 331, three touchdowns. Fresno just rolled over UConn here, Dan. Do you watch any of this game or see any highlights?
I just watched some highlights. Ronnie Rivers, who I think he set the Fresno record for career touchdowns, is in his fifth year of playing. That's one of those super senior elements where you're like, yes, he's really good. He's really impressive. But also, how are we considering this a record when he's playing in his fifth year? Not a fifth-year player, a fifth-year on-field player. So Fresno has Oregon next week. So it's going to get significantly more difficult in Eugene. But Jake Haner was at one point a Pac-12 quarterback and played Pac-12 games for Washington. So I think he's pretty good. I think it's going to be a comfortable Oregon win next week. We'll get into that more. But if you're going to go to Autzen and play what we believe to be a top 15-ish team to get that week zero, the reps that they were able to get in, and I like Kalen DeBoer all the same, but yeah, nice win, taking care of business, 120 degrees. I don't know if you've ever been in Central California during the summer.
I was at a wedding about 8 years ago, and I forget what the name of the town was, but we were obviously doing our thing, and I talked to you about it.
Inland California?
It was an outdoor wedding. I don't think it was Central California. It was Southern California.
Okay.
Or more Southern California.
Yeah.
Outdoor wedding at the top of a hill, beautiful views, hummingbirds flying around. I mean, it was wonderful. It was hot as hell, man. I sweated right through that suit. I've never been in 120 degree heat. I have no idea what that must be.
Really? Oh, yeah, man. It's, you know, California, they'll talk about the dry heat and whatever, but once you get above 105, dry, wet, it sort of all goes out the window, especially if you're in a parking lot or something that really absorbs the heat, something, you know, a tennis court or some sort of asphalt situation. It's a lot. Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in Palm Springs. I've been to Vegas and Arizona during the summer. It beats down on you. So I'm glad I didn't see anybody. Did anybody like suffer a heat stroke or anything serious? I didn't see stories like that.
Not that I saw.
So, you know, that's a win, and it's going to be a long year for UConn. But yeah, Fresno, 1-0.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
San Jose State, 45, Southern Utah, 14. A ton of offense in this game. 543 yards for San Jose State. Nick Starkel, he's in like year 8, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's 25, something like that.
394 yards, 4 touchdowns. Also a nice game for Tyler Nevins on the ground. 11 penalties, though, for the Spartans. And that is something they will need to clean up ASAP because they travel to USC next weekend. And they close out the month in Kalamazoo against yours, against mine, the Broncos of Western Michigan.
Yeah. I don't have anything to add here other than San Jose State has USC next week. And that is actually, I think our pal Yogi Roth is on the call. That should be an interesting game because San Jose State has I mean, just like Fresno State, Oregon, San Jose State has the week under their belts and they won the Mountain West and they have an older quarterback. I don't think it's a full snake in the toilet game for the Trojans, but it could be a snake in the toilet half.
Snake in the toilet half, yeah. Okay.
Anytime you think I've retired one of the dumber things that I've said, I'll bring it back. Don't you worry.
All right. The other game here that we had was UTEP 30, New Mexico State 3. Nice game for Jacob Cowan for the Miners. 158 through the air receiving and a touchdown. I don't have a whole lot to add here. The only thing that I'll call back to is we did a show on Friday, our WSV News radio broadcast, in which I believe we called out that there was some crazy percentage of money. I'd have to go back and look. 84% of the money was on UTEP here to cover this point spread.
Yeah.
So perhaps we'll pay a little bit closer attention to that at some point here. The next time around, I see a stat that lopsided, but UTEP clearly delivered for those folks.
Yeah, New Mexico State might just be one of those teams that goes 2-10 against the spread or something like that this year as well. Just because replacing so much, not being within a conference, not out of choice, it's going to be tough sledding there.
So there you have it. Those are the five main games in FBS college football in week zero. I thought maybe we could take some time here towards the end of the show to just talk about some of the games coming up, some of the games are going to preview.
Can I ask you a question before we do that, though? What went wrong at Nebraska? we're not going to have much time during the season. We'll have news shows and stuff like that, but just for conversation, and you're going to run through all the games and we're going to talk about how excited we are for all these matchups. But when you look back now that there is with a certain degree of confidence, you're like, man, it's not going to happen this year for Nebraska, right? Like 9-3 is not going to happen. We already knew that they had a brutal schedule, but if you had to pinpoint any one thing on why they're not a bowl team in our eyes right now, is there something? Like, what did Scott Frost not do that somebody else in a similar position could get a team to 7-5, 8-4? Like, what is that just from afar to you?
From afar, it's the dumb stuff, like I said. I think Nebraska fans have been ripping their hair out for the last couple seasons. And it extends beyond Scott Frost. It's not just a Scott Frost thing, but getting to any level of consistency has really been an issue. They have not been able to be a consistent team. They've been very lumpy. And they always find ways to do something that will undermine the larger effort.
Right.
Case in point was yesterday with penalties. The roughing the passer penalty was a dumb call. Or it was a good call. It was a dumb penalty.
Right.
At putting themselves in those types of situations. There was a taunting call along the way. Like, just these little things that over the course of time add up. Adrian Martinez, look, he's talented. He's a dual threat kid. He can do a lot. He did a lot in this game against Illinois. But there is an upper limit to that. He definitely has some bad habits that he has yet to fully vanquish from his arsenal. And so some of that stuff starts to come out when you put, I think, more pressure on him to make a play. That bit of it to me has been really curious under the Scott Frost regime, because he came from Oregon to UCF and then to Nebraska, fashioned as a bit of an offensive wizard, a guru. I don't feel like we're any closer to establishing a real identity for Nebraska outside of whatever Adrian Martinez can do for us. That's how our offense is going to be.
Right.
Had they really not been able to find anybody better than Adrian Martinez? He's a great athlete.
Right.
As a quarterback, I'm not so sure. So it's like, I don't know if it's they haven't found their guy. I don't know if it's that whatever they're trying to do with Adrian Martinez, if it's just not taking, like, whatever it is, it just feels very disjointed on offense and disjointed across the board when it comes to some of the little stuff. So a bunch of little paper cuts.
Yeah, I think those are symptoms of probably something more broad and all-encompassing. Like, I went back and looked at who Scott Frost brought in on his first staff, and it was basically a staff with nobody with a Big Ten or Plains footprint in terms of recruiting, in terms of the understanding of a conference that if you look at who has succeeded in the Big Ten West, especially over a long period of time, there's an element of continuity. There's an understanding of the high school terrain. And here are the coaches that have all these relationships, whether it's at Iowa or Wisconsin or Northwestern, that like they're recruiting to a specific identity. And there's an element to me that just from afar is watching Scott Frost say, here are my guys. We're going to recruit like we're going to go 11-1 and we're going to recruit speed and we're going to be the Oregon of the Big Ten and like or the UCF of the Big Ten. And identity wise, it doesn't seem to fit with how they're able to recruit and maintain a culture.
Yeah.
And I just think it was such a backwards way of thinking about things. And then with the number of guys who have transferred out and Scott Frost tying his fortunes to both Adrian Martinez and briefly Luke McCaffrey, like the evaluation and development at Nebraska at certain positions, especially on offense. And you mentioned that the shooting yourself in the foot thing. I don't know if it's coaching thing. I don't know if it's a top down coaching thing. I don't know if it's an assistant thing, but there is just like this element of like, just Scott Frost botched this entire operation. He just botched what it actually, because I don't look at Nebraska. I know people like to dunk on the program as like, it's not the mid 90s anymore. Okay. But how do we turn Nebraska into an 8-4 Big Ten team? That's the thing. Like, how do we turn this team that was down and had all these roster issues into an 8-4 team? And I think Scott Frost tried to, I don't know, what is it, a whistle? What was in Super Mario 3 that advances you the levels? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know, like, I know.
It always felt like Scott Frost, I'm using the past tense because that's what it feels like, the right tense to use. It always felt like Scott Frost was in search of that whistle instead of just going level to level to level.
I don't know what it is, but it's definitely not working.
I don't think Brett Bielema is searching for the whistle. He just wants to win, you know, level one, world one, level one, world two, level one, world three. He's just going for it. He's getting used to the raccoon. What's the name of the tanuki suit? Like that's, now I'm picturing Brett Bielema in a physical tanuki suit.
In a tanuki suit.
And I refuse to do otherwise. So that's what, I think that's the difference, right? I think there was nothing specifically incremental about Scott Frost's approach in Lincoln.
Well, I don't know. My guess is that we're not going to see it from that much longer because if the news about using analysts incorrectly, improperly was any indication, the fact that that came out in the manner that it did right before the season, as you said on a show, the call came from inside the house.
Yeah.
And there is clearly pressure. I think he knows it. This is not a great way to start the season. Unless things turn around in a hurry, they're going to be looking for a coach. We could talk throughout the course of the season about who that next coach might be, but it does not seem like things are on the straight and narrow for the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
You know who didn't hire Scott Frost? Trev Alberts, the new AD. That's who did not hire Scott Frost.
Yeah. That's true. So look, next week, there are a ton of games.
Yes.
That we are going to discuss. Our Wednesday preview show is going to be a straight up banger. I'm pretty excited about it. I've already got the doc in front of me now, and it's just a huge, it's like the Dead Sea Scrolls of just game upon game upon game upon game. The six big headliners that I have pulled out as of now are Penn State at Wisconsin on Saturday. All these are on Saturday. Penn State at Wisconsin, Alabama, neutral site in Atlanta against Miami, Georgia versus Clemson, the Duke's Mayo Classic, part of the Duke's Mayo Classic doubleheader weekend. As we've discussed before, we've got LSU at UCLA, which should be very interesting. And then on Sunday night, we've got Notre Dame at Florida State. On Monday night, we've got Louisville at Ole Miss, also in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And that's not all. I mean, there's just a litany of games all throughout the weekend. Boise and UCF on Thursday night on ESPN.
Yeah.
Should be a lot of fun. Ohio State
Minnesota. Yeah.
Yeah. Ohio State, Minnesota. At 8 p.m. on Fox on Thursday should be a good game as well. Who knows what we're going to get. First game on the road out of C.J. Stroud. A ton of talent there for sure, but will be interesting. We've got UNC Virginia Tech on the road at Virginia Tech on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Then some other games just that, you know, we've been hinting throughout the course of our own previews here about Stanford at K-State.
And let's use the, I think it was Andy Staples and Ari Wasserman made the banana bet, the Will Levis banana bet.
Yeah.
You saw the video of Will Levis, how he eats a banana with the rind, with the peel.
I did. Yeah.
If Braxton Burmeister lights up North Carolina in a winning effort, will you do the banana Will Levis challenge?
I will.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Okay. Yeah, Temple Rutgers, Ty, you skip right over. there's a game in my backyard, Michigan State Northwestern, Friday night.
Are you going?
State people in my family.
Solid toddler?
It's five. No, I think it's an 8 p.m. local kick, but it's 5 minutes down the road. I think I could probably get in. So I don't know. If any Northwestern people want to give me a ticket, maybe I'll consider it. So
tickets
that.
Are probably like $6 to get into that game.
Yeah, I mean, the North Carolina-Virginia Tech game is over. I'm seeing $34 is the get-in price of Michigan State-Northwestern. That's a totally interesting game. We get to see like a true off-season Michigan State, who I don't believe is still, they've not named a quarterback between Peyton Thorne and Anthony Russo, and Northwestern, Hunter Johnson. What could go wrong? Yeah. So yeah, you're right. I mean, it's all day Saturday. It's all sorts of good times. You see Hudson Card was named the starter at Texas?
I did.
That'll be interesting. I don't know if there were any other huge starting quarterback announcements. I haven't seen anything with Michigan State. But Anthony Brown at Oregon was named ahead of the Fresno game. They're like, for Fresno, Anthony Brown was named the starter. So at least there's a peace of mind there for Oregon fans who are hoping for something different, I guess, that just like, okay, that's who the starter is. So, yeah, I can't wait to do the preview on Tuesday, Ty, because that's in earnest the first time. Help, Dan, Ty. Like, that's the feeling. That's the true start of the season.
We were just getting tuned up.
Yeah.
And ready for the week one action in doing our week zero preview last week.
How were the broadcasts, by the way? Anything stand out to you? Fox pregame or in-game broadcast, ESPN. I mentioned Beth Mullins on the UCLA call. I think it was Joe Davis doing Nebraska and Illinois. Anything? I know game day, no Maria Taylor on game day anymore. Lee Corso back, a lot of emotion there. I just watched a few minutes of it, but anything jump out to you about the TV aspect of Saturday?
I believe there may have been some reference by David Pollack to it all starting up front.
Hell yeah. Oh,
I believe there may have been reference to that. Mm-hmm. I was watching specifically for fantasy things. So we had the failed hurdle by DTR.
Mm-hmm.
We had just all day, glad to have the fans back, that type of stuff.
Yep.
So, you know, always a nice little Easter egg to see that stuff incorporated into a college football Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit perturbed because I thought the first game was going to kick off at 1 Eastern, but then I tuned into Fox and it was like, okay, we got to do the pregame thing now where we got to talk to Reggie Bush. We got to talk to Matt Leinart. We got to get everybody's take on Nebraska, Illinois. It's like, just, we know how this is going to go, guys. Just kick the ball. So, but other than that, no, it's just, it's good to have the season back. It's good to kind of get things started and get our feet wet here with doing live broadcasts on Sunday morning and talking about actual gameplay. It's great.
I was watching game day. Again, it was like, I don't know, 7 minutes worth. And it was fine. It was game day that I'm used to. But there was a woman, a reporter or something on the game day set who was doing a piece that probably Maria Taylor or Aaron Andrews would have done before them. And it was such an amazing local news intro to her segment that I just, my jaw dropped. It was something like, hey guys, did you know that there was a chain shortage in 2020? That's right. There were shortage of coins. Well, in college football, there was no shortage of change in 2020.
Oh,
I was just like,
okay.
Look at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my takeaway from game.
Okay.
Day.
All right.
And it was just like, weird year. I was like, yeah. Weird year. I would say so. That's all. That was what was wonderful. I love a good, especially now that we're doing the WSV show on Fridays. I'm always paying attention to like a good, solid, newsy segue.
So, oh, yeah. Well, look, speaking of the Friday show, we would encourage everybody to subscribe/follow the podcast feed if you haven't already. If you like the show, if you want to support the show, maybe the Patreon thing's for you, maybe it isn't. But one easy way that you can help support what we're doing is by going out to Apple, whatever your podcasting platform is, and please do leave us a review. We would encourage you to make that a 5-star review if you were ever so inclined.
That would be wonderful.
But that stuff really does help as we build into the season now, when we know a lot of college football fans are going to be out there looking for fun content as it relates to the new season. You can also go on out to our website, solidverbal.com, and sign up for the newsletter. You can do it there. You can also go to newsletter.solidverbal.com. And what we've been doing is we've been sending out messages every Friday. This week, we're actually going to start up with the premium newsletter that is available to our Patreon subscribers. You said you're writing a column this week?
I am. Yeah, the premium newsletter is my interpretation of how to be married and a parent during the college football season. And so, again, if you have suggestions specifically, I got some on Twitter last week and in the Patreon Discord. But if you want to send suggestions about how to be a married human or in a serious relationship and or a parent during the college football season, how you can juggle that, solidverbal@gmail.com. That'd be helpful because I'm learning. I'm still life is continued education. That's all.
Dan is still learning. So, yeah. So the newsletter is starting to ramp up. Mm-hmm. As I said at the top of the show, of course, the articles are ramping up as well. We've been doing that the last few weeks, but
the really premium newsletter is only for patrons, right? Correct? The premium newsletter?
Oh, yeah, okay. That's correct.
Making sure. Yep. Verballers.com.
And hey, Dan, one more time, playruntheboard.com. We told you at the top of the show about the special new game that we are conducting, Run the Board. Again, you can win week to week. You can get free merch. That's pretty cool. But if you win the season, if you finish in the top five after we drop your two lowest scores out, you will be elected to the first ever Solid Verbal Board of Trustees. And that gives you the special trophy to signify your membership, gives you access to annual meetings, top secret communications about the show, the right to vote on key matters. Dan?
Oh, my God.
I'm a little nervous about this, frankly.
Does that mean that a board of trustee member can call an emergency meeting at any point? I think it might. I think if there is something that comes in huge, if Ty gets hired by Big Noon Saturday and we need to think about the future of the Solid Verbal, I think we're going to have an emergency board of trustees.
I think that's the way this thing works in real life. Like for sure.
Of course.
Playruntheboard.com again is the URL. You got to sign up for the Patreon. It's only available to our Patreon subscribers. Registration for this game closes before kickoff on Saturday. You have till Saturday before kickoff to get your name in the ring. But very much looking forward to this. Our community is growing. It's a great community of college football fans. We're going to be accountable. Maybe for the first time ever, which feels a little awkward, but I'm excited about it.
Maybe for the first time ever. I'm very distracted thinking about the possibilities that an emergency meeting would have to be called for. Like, if it came out that Brian Kelly and his wife invited you and the solid wife, Kate, to Oaxaca or to Geneva for some sort of off-season vacation, like, well, can Ty be trusted to talk about Notre Dame football? Is he conflicted? Is he compromised?
Yeah.
That's an emergency board meeting. A situation in which you and the Kellys are vacation friends.
Alrighty, Dan. I think that is all we have for now. Would encourage everyone to go on out to the website, read what's going on, follow along on the show, tell other friends about what we've got going on here on the Solid Verbal, because we have a very big week in front of us, do we not?
We do. Shout out Shuffler, shout out Sidelines, Penn State, shout out These Dan Games, shout out Tyler 4825, shout out Always Returning, and I'm going to make you uncomfortable saying it, but shout out the Womb Raider.
The Womb Raider. Okay.
All just really dedicated patrons. I love them.
Daniel, you enjoy the rest of your Sunday, all right?
Hey, you too, my man.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, we will talk to you all on Wednesday. Let's get ready for week one. In the meantime, stay safe and stay solid.
Peace.